Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. What does the church actually teach about manual stimulation of the genital area? That's what we're going to talk about today. Understanding what the church teaches and why she teaches it is going to help us better understand why there are certain acts that we should not do, but other acts that are perfectly permissible and, in fact, could really help us in achieving mutual sexual pleasure. Let's get into it. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I specialize in sex and marital intimacy, and I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. So where we need to start in this conversation is talking about manual stimulation versus masturbation. Masturbation is something that is explicitly prohibited by the church. This is something that has always held. It's been in tradition for pretty much ever. If we go to Catechism 2352, the church just really lays it out. I think there's something in this paragraph that's very helpful is the deliberate use of the sexual faculty for whatever reason outside of marriage is essentially contrary to its purpose. For here, the sexual pleasure is sought outside of the sexual relationship. Okay. So really what we're talking about with masturbation and with some areas of manual stimulation, which we're going to get into, is the offense against chastity that is happening here. That's, again, wording from the catechism. The deliberate seeking of sexual pleasure isolated from its procreative and unitive purposes. So outside of that sexual act, outside of marriage. Masturbation is that personal physical stimulation of the genital area seeking sexual pleasure isolated from sex, right? Isolated from that beautiful unitive and procreative act that we have in sex. The catechism in paragraph 2351 also just has a beautiful sentence here. Again, you might want to look up this section. It's really explicit. There's great wording in here. Sexual pleasure is morally disordered when sought for itself, isolated from its procreative and unitive purposes. So that's what we're going to dig into when we talk about manual stimulation. We're going to go through basically like all the different types, all the different scenarios of manual stimulation. And we're going to basically discuss whether or not they are isolated from the procreative and unitive purposes, whether they are sought for sexual pleasure itself, or they are sought within the context of a full sexual act. All right, so we're going to start with some of the easy ones. Man stimulating wife during foreplay and or during intercourse. So what's happening during foreplay is that husband and wife are physically arousing each other to prepare their bodies for intercourse. Foreplay is an important aspect of the sexual act. It's an important part of it. Foreplay could last anywhere from a few minutes to, you know, closer to an hour, maybe even longer than that. There's no time limit on foreplay or anything like that. And any part of the body is absolutely available during foreplay for stimulation. The woman's orgasm is not biologically connected to the procreative purpose. That means that her orgasm can happen during foreplay, it can happen during intercourse, or it can happen immediately after intercourse. It does not have to happen during intercourse to be morally licit. Now, it does need to happen within the context of a full sexual act because sexual pleasure outside of a full sexual act, isolated from its procreative and unitive purposes, is morally disordered. That's again, we're using those words from the catechism that it has. But that sexual pleasure is ordered toward a sexual act. So, as long as the foreplay and the manual stimulation is happening immediately prior to intercourse, it's part of that full sexual act, the man stimulating the wife, physically stimulating her genitals with hands or with his mouth and tongue, those are absolutely morally licit. and as well as the man stimulating his wife during intercourse. Actually, during that penetration portion, direct stimulation of the clitoris can help increase the chances of climax during penetration. So those are great things. It can also, manual stimulation immediately post intercourse is also completely morally licit. It's again, we're within one sexual act, and manual stimulation, trying to get the woman toward orgasm within that full sexual act, is absolutely licit. Now, let's go to a little bit more difficult, a little bit harder of a situation, the woman stimulating the husband. So during foreplay, I mentioned this already, that there's no part of the body that is untouchable. There's no part of the body that is unkissable. The whole point of foreplay is physically arousing, sexually arousing the other person to prepare for intercourse. Now, typically, the woman's body needs more time and needs a little bit more direct stimulation to be ready for intercourse. But some men also require that. They also require a little bit more direct stimulation, some more time. And so the woman stimulating her husband during foreplay, getting his body aroused, helping his penis to become erect, to be ready for intercourse, that is absolutely morally licit. And in fact, a wonderful thing that a wife can do for her husband. Where it crosses the line is the wife stimulating her husband to climax. Like I mentioned before, the woman's orgasm is not biologically connected to the procreative purpose. However, the man's orgasm is biologically connected to the procreative purpose. His orgasm happens at the same time as ejaculation. They are connected. That means that his orgasm has to happen within intercourse, because the couple has to allow for that procreative purpose to exist, for that procreative possibility. And so the sperm need to be deposited into the vagina. That is how we allow for that procreative possibility. That's why there's a little bit more of a stricter guideline on when the man can orgasm. It's because of that connection to the procreative purpose. And the woman's orgasm has a little bit more leeway, especially because the woman's orgasm is often a little bit more difficult to achieve. And so achieving it through direct stimulation during foreplay for some couples can be a lot easier than during intercourse. All right, so the next situation that we're going to talk about is the husband stimulating the wife to climax outside of the context of sex. The most common situation that I see this is that a couple is trying to avoid pregnancy. And so they are abstaining from sex during the fertile window. And the couple, you know, is feeling like they want to come together. They have a natural, good, holy desire to want to come together, but they're recognizing that they should not come together because they're trying to avoid pregnancy. There's kind of this question of, oh, well, wouldn't it be okay if I stimulated my wife to climax, because that's not sex. Let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Sexual pleasure is morally disordered when sought for itself, isolated from its procreative and unitive purposes. That's that quote from the Catechism 2351. That's really, really clear here. Sexual pleasure cannot be sought unless a full sexual act is sought. Sexual pleasure doesn't just mean climax either. There's a whole lot of sexual pleasure that happens prior to actually achieving climax. So outside of the context of having sex, outside of the desire to actually come together and have sex, manual stimulation, there would be very few situations where that would be morally appropriate, because manual stimulation, the goal of manual stimulation is physical arousal. Physical arousal should really only be happening in that foreplay portion of sex. Physical arousal should lead to having intercourse with each other. When we have that physical arousal, when we have that sexual pleasure isolated from sex, isolated from the procreative and unitive purposes, we are disordering the sexual pleasure. All right, let's go to the next scenario that I have on here. And this one actually truly is a morally gray area, according to kind of moral theologians. I have my own opinion. I will share my opinion with you. It's my podcast. But I am going to share with you kind of both sides. And this is truly something to take with you to prayer and talk to God about. So the situation is personal stimulation of genitals within the context of sex. So what I mean here is a couple is having sex together. And the most common situation here is that the woman personally stimulates her own clitoral nub, her own clitoral head, in order to achieve orgasm during foreplay, during intercourse. So here's the two sides of the coin here, the two sides of the argument. The moral theologians who stand that this is not morally permissible liken this to grasping at sexual pleasure. Sexual pleasure is something to be received. It is not something to take. When the Catechism talks about masturbation, it's talking about the deliberate stimulation of the genital organs in order to derive sexual pleasure instead of receiving sexual pleasure from our spouse. That's one of the reasons why sexual pleasure is supposed to be part of the sexual act, is that sexual pleasure is not something to be grasped at. It's not something to grab for ourselves. It's something to receive. Something that I say in the orgasm course that I have for Catholic women is that receiving sexual pleasure from our spouse is a school of learning to receive love from the Father. So learning to receive is really, really, really hard. Learning to trust another person enough to open up and receive sexual pleasure from them is an extremely hard thing. It's also an extremely virtuous thing to do within the context of marriage. And so that is that side of the argument is that doing that personal stimulation is really grasping instead of receiving. Before we get to the rest of the episode, I have a question for you. Is sexual pleasure something that seems just out of grasp, or maybe something you've never or rarely actually experienced? Sexual pleasure, and orgasm in particular, is something that a lot of Catholic women struggle with. Whether it's because of a misunderstanding of the point of sexual pleasure and God's design for it, or a lifetime of suppressing anything to do with sex because it was bad or dirty, maybe shame from past sexual experiences, or maybe just that no one ever stopped to walk you through an in-depth anatomical diagram and tell you about how female pleasure works. Whatever it is, orgasm is a confusing jumble of anatomy, mindset, partner dynamics, and a lot more. And it's not something that you want to Google, because you never know what you're going to come across on the internet. And sifting through secular crap is just not something you have time for. That is why I created the Orgasm Course for Catholic Women. This course walks you through everything from anatomy to mindset to theology to the partner aspect of sex and orgasm, and it is all deeply rooted in Catholic truth. There is nowhere else that you can get all the good stuff and none of the bad stuff. Check out the Orgasm Course for Catholic Women at vinesandfullbloom.com/orgasm or click the link in the show notes. The other side of the argument is that this is within the context of a sexual act. This is seeking sexual pleasure within the proper order of sex that is united with the procreative and unitive purposes. And so the seeking of sexual pleasure in this case is absolutely morally licit, and that personal stimulation, if that's the only way that is possible, is morally licit. Now, you can probably tell which side I lie on because of the extent of the argument that I just gave. I definitely lean toward the more conservative here, and because I think it's really important for a couple to give pleasure to each other and to receive pleasure from the other. When a woman is personally stimulating herself, she's in a way closing herself off to receiving that pleasure from her husband. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy to receive pleasure from your husband, especially if there is like a history of masturbation or a history of pornography, things like that. It can be very, very difficult. And that's something to continue to work through in good counseling and in conversation together. But I think it's extremely virtuous to build that communication and also build that trust. Trust that other person who is physically stimulating you. Trust them enough to open up to the sexual arousal that is good and holy in that situation. So again, this particular situation, like I said, there are moral theologians who sit on both sides of it. The Magisterium herself has not had an explicit statement on this particular issue. So this is definitely something to take to prayer, to take to conversation. But I really want to encourage you to not close yourself off to the possibility of fully receiving your sexual pleasure from your spouse, knowing that, you know, it's morally permissible to personally stimulate your own genitals during sex, during intercourse, in order to achieve orgasm. That's fine, but don't just close yourself off to that. Don't only do that. Allow yourself to continue to try to receive that sexual pleasure from your spouse, if that's your situation. And continue also, before I move on, just to really continue to build that communication and learn ways to teach your spouse how to manually stimulate you in ways that are arousing, and just continue to try and not give up and not just say, oh, hey, well, this is just not going to happen for us, so I have to be the one to manually stimulate. When we do things like that in our relationship with God, we start closing doors to God. So please don't do that in your relationship with your spouse. All right. The last situation that I have is a pretty obvious situation, is personal stimulation of the genitals, like together and only personally stimulating genitals. This is also known as mutual masturbation. This is not okay because we are not allowing for that unitive moment of foreplay. So a situation where mutual masturbation might happen is that the woman stimulates herself to a point of arousal where she's ready for intercourse. The man stimulates himself to a point of arousal where he is ready for intercourse. And then the couple has intercourse. The problem there is that we are missing out on the unitive nature of foreplay. We're also missing out on a lot of getting to know each other and getting to know our bodies and enjoying each other's bodies and enjoying that time together. Foreplay is a part of sex. It's not just like an add-on that we can sometimes do. It's a part of getting to know the other person's body. All the touching and the hugging and the foot rubs or the kissing or the back rubs or the talking or whatever else is happening during foreplay, maybe the shower or the bath or the dancing or the striptease or whatever. I'm just really coming up with as many examples as I can. Whatever is happening during foreplay is really good for the couple's relationship. And so mutual masturbation, even mutual masturbation not to the point of climax, but only to the point of arousal, is not within this beautiful picture that the church has painted for us of the goal of sexual pleasure, is that it is built for the sexual act and built to be a part of this unitive and procreative act. It's not to be isolated from that. So, in conclusion, manual stimulation has a lot of different facets to it, maybe more than you were expecting in this episode. And what we really just have to rely on when we're looking at a situation of manual stimulation and whether it is morally appropriate or not is, what's the point that we are seeking for this sexual pleasure? Are we deliberately seeking sexual pleasure isolated from procreation and unity? Are we deliberately seeking it outside of the context of sex? Or are we seeking it within the context of a beautiful, holy act of sex that a husband and wife are doing? And if that's the case, if we're seeking sexual pleasure in its appropriate place within that full act of sex, then wonderful. Go for it. Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.